Thank the Lord for that song this morning, and I'm very thankful that God has indeed stood the test of time. And when it seems like that things are impossible and circumstances would indicate differently, the Lord has over and over made a way over the mountains and through the waters and through the fire, and we come out on the other side when we're with the Lord. And just like the three Hebrew children said, the smell of smoke wasn't even on them. We are stronger because of the battle, but it was God that saw us through. And that gives me great hope for the future. And it gives me hope for my children when they face battles. And we look at how bad the world is today. I have hope for my children because God has not changed this morning. We are very thankful for all the wives and mothers here this morning. And I know that Mother's Day is a special day that our country has set aside, but it was God that created the institution of motherhood. And we don't want to just remember, and this is for husbands and children, we don't want to just remember our wives and mothers on Mother's Day, but every day we want to treat them with respect and honor in the way that we talk to them, in the way that we treat them, because they are indeed worthy of much love and respect. I am very thankful that there are still women that, in a world that has tried to feminize men and emasculate women, I am thankful that there are still women who are pursuing the graces of God and femininity and poise. Women that recognize that they're called to a different calling. We're not all the same. God created men and women differently on the outward appearance, and He created us different inside. He created us to fill different places and different roles in the church, in society, and in the home. And I appreciate that there are still godly women that have a desire and purpose to fill their God-given roles. So thank you, sisters, this morning. And I want you to know that you set, I'm so thankful for your examples that you set, not only for those that have set examples for me in my life, but there are still women that my boys can look to and my daughter can look to and know this is what it means to be a godly woman. And I appreciate that. May God bless all you sisters this morning. There is a passage of Scripture over in Titus, very familiar, in the second chapter, in the fourth and fifth verse. He was telling the older sisters to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That is not a passage of Scripture that you usually see on billboards in our society. That women are to be keepers at home. Their primary function is to be a keeper at home, to provide a home and a place of refuge. And I know there's lots that could be said about that, but this morning, the house is to be more. I know I use the word house here. It would have been better maybe to say when Jesus is in the home. I think I better just change that. But we have a world that there are lots of houses. But do you know that a lot of the responsibility to make a house a home falls to the sisters? It falls to the wives and to the mothers. The home should be a place that is a refuge for the family. We live in a society that one of the reasons, and I don't think I'm wrong here, one of the reasons some men work so much overtime is because the house is not a home. It's not a refuge. The home should be a place, the house should be a place that the husband, the man, when he gets off of work, he ought to be able to look forward with anticipation to go home and see his wife. But we live in a world where there's so much striving and so much carnality. Why would you want to go home something like that? And I know that it lies with men and women, but sisters, a lot of the responsibility of the environment in your house, for it to be the home, is how you conduct yourself in that place. That you make a place that's attractive and welcoming for your children. That your home is a refuge from the world. That your children can look forward to, I'm going home. It's a refuge. It's a place of safety. But in too many houses, the home has become a battleground. And God is not pleased with that. But there is a difference, and I am so thankful for the homes where Jesus is in it this morning. Because you know when Jesus is in the home, that's what makes the difference? When a wife and a mother, and this message is to all of us, husbands, fathers, when we allow Jesus to be the center of our life, He will be in that home. There is a passage of Scripture I'd like us to turn to and read in Mark chapter 1, in the 29th verse. It said, forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue. Now this is speaking about Jesus and the disciples. When they came out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So keep in mind, here is Jesus had been teaching in the synagogue, and when they were finished, it was getting towards evening, they left this place of worship in the synagogue, and He went home with Simon and Andrew. He went into their home. Are you ready for Jesus to come to your home this morning? What do you do when you know a guest is going to come? Sisters, just be honest. What do you do if you know someone's coming by? You get to cleaning, right? You start looking around, and I will say my mother is one of the few women that I don't think it really made a whole lot of difference. I think she was about ready every time. I don't know, but I'll tell you there's something about it. When you know a guest is coming, you start looking around, don't you? You start telling the children, hey, that needs to be picked up and go be sure that this is cleaned up because someone's coming home. Well, Jesus went home with Simon and Andrew. I don't know if they were anticipating it or not, but it said when they got there that Simon's wife's mother, now this is Simon's mother-in-law. She was in the house. She was in the home. There might be another lesson in that one. The mother-in-law. Do you realize that, and I've told my mother-in-law before, I say on her about thinking about retirement and planning, and I would say that if she were here this morning. But I've told her before when my son was in need and going to school close to her, she opened up her home to him. And I told her, I said, that was your retirement plan. God says, anytime you need a place to stay, my home's open to you. And she knew what she was doing. She knows that in her old age, when she can't work, she's got a room in my house. Now, Stephen and Angela, that doesn't take away your all's responsibility. Because we may need a break. But understand that there's a place in my home for my mother-in-law. Simon had his mother-in-law in the home, and she was sick, and they were taking care of her. I believe there is responsibility that God has given to us for family, to take care of family that is in need. Alright, so it went on, and Jesus, when He was there, Simon's mother, wife's mother, lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell Him of her. They came and they told Jesus, my mother-in-law's sick and she's in the home. And it said that when Jesus came, He took her by the hand and He lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her and she ministered unto them. When Jesus was in the home, do you realize it changed what happened in that home? If Jesus would not have been in the home, sickness would have still been there. But when Jesus was in the home, there was a place of healing. Saints, this morning, I know we still get sick. But I will say when Jesus is in the home, it makes a difference. When Jesus is in the home, there is a place of healing. And it goes way beyond the physical this morning. There is a place of spiritual and emotional healing when Jesus is in the home. And I want to encourage all of us, let's keep Jesus in the home. Let's let him not just be a guest that comes by from time to time that we have to scurry around and get things ready. But let's allow Jesus to live in our home, because when He's in the home, folks, there's a place of healing. There's a place that when we get sick, I know where to go to. There's a place when we get sick, with children should be able to know I can ask Mom to come and pray for me because Jesus is in the home. I can ask Dad to come pray for me because Jesus is in the home. I can ask my wife to come pray for me because Jesus is in the home. Folks, when Jesus is in the home, it makes a difference. And we find that after He healed her, He was still in the home. People began from all over, began to bring their sick to Him. You realize that Jesus from Nazareth was here at Capernaum in Peter's home. And it was about 80 miles from Nazareth. And when Jesus began His ministry, it is a good probability that He was a frequent visitor in this home. And Jesus did not just minister in the synagogue. A lot of Christ's ministry was done from people's homes. Did you know that? He ministered right here. If you read on in this passage, they brought the sick to Him, and He stayed there and ministered to them from the home. You know, this morning we live in a world that there needs to be more homes where Jesus is at, that people can know this is a home, that when I go to that place, I'm going to find the presence of God. I'm not going to find the bickering and the quarreling and the strife that is so prevalent in the world, but this is a home that you can know the presence of God is in that place. Is Jesus in your home today? What about last night? What about that day this week when things were, there are some frustrations? Do you know frustrations come to our homes too? But was Jesus there? You know, when Jesus is in your home, it will change how you respond to frustrations when Jesus is in the home. It will change how you respond when things don't go like you think they ought to. When Jesus is in the home, it will change how you talk when the children misbehave. You know, I've noticed that when you have guests in the house, and I've noticed it, I'll talk about myself. I've noticed it with me, but I've also noticed it in lots of you too. I've noticed that when you're a guest in someone's home or you have guests in your home, that we are all so patient with our children when they misbehave. Have you ever noticed that? But when the guests are gone, sometimes you just maybe a little bit harder, maybe not quite as patient, maybe not quite as much grace. But do you know the Lord wants us to live every day with Jesus in the home? That we don't need to be ashamed. And I know we sometimes can talk a little straighter to our children when a guest isn't there. But it still needs to be under the umbrella of the grace of God. Amen? Because when Jesus is in the home, it makes a difference in how we relate with people. Well, Psalms 127 verse 1, the scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Do you know we live in a world that we could talk about what makes a good mother? What makes a good father? What makes a good husband? What makes a good wife? And you know, there are attributes and qualities that we could name that are important. But you know that as much time as a mother gives to her children, as much money, as much pleasure, that's not going to make an eternal difference in their life. What is going to make an eternal difference in the lives of our children is when Jesus is in the home. And we may not have all the wealth of this world, and we may not have the best of clothes, and we may not have all the things that many people around us have, but children, if Jesus is in your home, you are far richer than anybody else in this world. When Jesus is in the home, you have something that is of eternal value in your home. Let's value it and let's appreciate it. Do we have problems in our lives, or is anybody here a perfect husband, a perfect wife, never makes any mistakes, just always does everything just perfectly? Is there anybody here like that? Because if there is, you ought to be up here instead of me. But do you know what the difference is? Because we are all imperfect people in the flesh. But in the Spirit, we can be perfect when we have allowed Jesus in our home. When we have allowed Him in our life and we live and operate under the influences of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus is in the home and you mess up, do you know what you do when Jesus is in the home? You say, I'm sorry. You remember me telling, some of you may remember, I told you about a minister I heard that said he'd been married for 10 years and had never had to apologize to his wife one time. I've been married 25 years. And I've had to apologize more than 25 times. And I didn't think any higher of that minister. I thought poor wife. That's what I thought. Poor lady. Because I know good and well, he must have been so self-righteous, and incidentally, he was, that he thought he was probably trying to get her measured up and her to adjust and her to change and wasn't willing to humble himself and say, honey, I'm sorry. When Jesus is in the home and maybe you're not as patient as you ought to be, or you do something and recognize I should have done it differently, when Jesus is in the home, you will be willing and able to humble your heart and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Isn't it a blessing to have Jesus in the home? Because we're still going to make mistakes, but when Christ is in the home, it will radically transform your home. This is what people need. This is what marriages need. It's what families need. They need to invite Jesus into their home on a day-by-day basis. So accept the Lord, build the house. They labor in vain that build it. We were not going to take time to read all of the scriptures where Jesus was in the home. But in Mark, where we're at in Mark in the second chapter, in the 14th verse, Jesus walked by Levi. He walked by Matthew. And he said, follow me. I want you to follow me. 14th verse. And Matthew arose and followed Jesus. And in the 15th verse, it said, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house. Jesus sat in the house, in the home, and communed with Matthew, with Levi. And people began to criticize Jesus. Does he know who he's sitting with? He's sitting with the publicans and the sinners. And Jesus, when he heard it, said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Something that changes when Jesus is in the home. It brings about a place of friendship and communion. You know, that's what the Lord wants in all of our homes this morning. He wants it to be a place of friendship. He wants it to be a place of communion. He wants it to be a place that's of spiritual healing and a place of togetherness. Because Jesus is in the home. I read a story about a minister many, many years ago that was in Europe. And he went to visit. He was in a small congregation. He was new, so he was visiting the people in the congregation. And the story is told that he stopped in one home and visited a little bit, and the husband was not there. And when the husband came home that night, the wife told her husband, she said, the minister came by and saw the family today. And he asked us a question. He asked me, he said, does Jesus live here? And the husband didn't like that and got a little bit agitated. And he said, well, did you tell him that we're Christians? She said, well, honey, she said, that's not what he asked. He asked if Jesus lived here. Well, did you tell him that we pay our tithes and we give to the church? She said, but that's not what he asked. He asked if Jesus lived here. This morning, it's not enough for us to come to service. It's important. But that doesn't mean Jesus lives in our home. It's good to have have Bible doctrine. It's good to teach our children what the Bible says. That's important. But the question this morning is Jesus in the house? Is Jesus in the home? How many men have sat and taught their children from the Word of God, but Jesus was not in the house? And their fathers abused them. The fathers are out doing things they ought not to be doing, but yet they've got the truth. They've got doctrine, and they go to church, and everybody thinks they're a good saint of God. You know, I could tell you stories about hypocrites that make your toes curl. Hypocrites, people that are saying, I'm a saint of God, and things going on in the home that ought not ever to be mentioned once among God's people. What was the difference? The difference was that Jesus wasn't there. Jesus wasn't in the home. This morning, I want Jesus in the home. I want my home to be a place of healing. I want it to be a place of relationship. I want it to be a refuge. You remember Jesus went home with Zacchaeus? And when he went home with Zacchaeus, keep in mind Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. He was looking for him. And when Jesus walked by, he said, Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. He said, I'm going home with you today. I'm going to go to your house. He knew that Zacchaeus had a desire for Jesus in the home. Folks, if we don't have the desire for Jesus in our home, He's not going to be in our home. He will not break the door down. He's not going to force Himself, but He wants to come in because we invite Him to come into our home. And when He came, Zacchaeus began to talk about the restitutions that He was going to make. And remember that Jesus said, this day salvation has come to this house. This day salvation has come to this house. You know, the Lord is not dwelling this morning in temples that are made with hands. He's not dwelling within the four walls. He's wanting to dwell inside our hearts. That, Lord, I want You to live in my home. That wherever I am, people can see Jesus Christ. Have you ever taken note? One of the most familiar passages of Scripture, I'm sure most of the children could quote it this morning, in Matthew 5, where it said, ye are the light of the world. We talk about being a light to the world, but do you notice where the light starts? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto who? All that are in the house. Folks, this is where it starts. It doesn't start when we come to service. It doesn't start in how spiritual people may think you are or not. Where it starts is in the privacy of your home. Question is Jesus in the home? Have there ever been times that you would have been glad that there wasn't a knock on the door and there was a guest there? I remember one time my wife and I were in the mall, and we saw a couple. They were a little bit older than we were, and we could tell immediately they didn't expect to see any saints. And we could tell that things were not going good. I don't know what was going on, but we knew that they were having some problems. And the husband looked at us and said, well, you all look happy. And that made me cringe because it let me know he and his wife were not happy. Is Jesus in the house? Is Jesus in the home, folks? Well, where we let our light start shining, and I want to encourage especially the mothers and the fathers, and we'll be done here shortly. I want to encourage the mothers and the fathers, the husbands and wives, our light to shine for the Lord is going to start in our homes. That's where it starts. You can have all kinds of ministries, but if you do not have Christ in your home, everything else is in vain. Is Jesus in the house? Well, there's another instance in the book of Mark as well, in the 9th chapter, where it said Jesus came to Capernaum. Once again, He came to Capernaum. It's Mark chapter 9, verse 33. And it said, being in the house, He asked His disciples, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves? Do you remember when Jesus was walking down the road and He overheard His disciples and they were quarreling about who would be the greatest? Why didn't Jesus reprove them right then? Ever thought about that? He waited. He waited till they got in the privacy of the home. And he said, what were y'all talking about? Do you know that when Jesus is in the home, he will deal with you in a very personal way? He's not there to try to embarrass you in front of someone. He's not going to try to, he's not ridiculing us. But if Jesus is in your home this morning, he's going to come by and reveal to us things in our life that we need to grow in and that we need to improve. I am thankful to have Jesus in the home this morning, aren't you? Because it's a safety for me when the Lord comes and talks to my heart, shows me areas I need to do better. I'm glad Jesus is in the home. Let's take advantage of it this morning. There's also, Jesus was in the home when the woman came. He was in Bethany at the house of the leper when the woman came and washed his feet and dried his feet with her hair. And when she broke the one, another instance when they came and broke the alabaster, the woman broke the alabaster box over his head. Do you know where Jesus was? He was in a home. Do you know the home is the central place of worship and devotion to God? Again, it's important for us to come here. We have services. I want it to be that when we come together like this, that we feel and experience the presence of the Lord. But folks, we are only going to experience the presence of the Lord when we come together if we have been experiencing the presence of the Lord in our homes. You want to find a dead service, you're probably going to find some dead living at home. So our homes should be a place of continual worship and devotion, a place that we too can pour out our heart of love in worship to the Lord. I'd like to conclude with Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus was speaking and he said, behold, he said, I stand at the door. At what door? The door of your house. The door of your home. The door of your heart. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Do you know that there is nothing, there is no substitute to the communion and fellowship we can have with Jesus when we open up our heart's door? Homes that are in trouble this morning, I have a solution. I don't know all of the particular answers to everybody's problems, but I know the solution. And the solution is let Jesus come in. Let Jesus come into your home. Children, if you struggle with getting along with your brothers and sisters, or you're just struggling at home to be obedient, you know the Lord wants to be in your home. He wants to come into your heart, and it will radically transform. People that have marriage problems, folks, you can have all the marriage counseling you want, and I know some of it can be beneficial, but do you know the thing that's going to make the greatest difference is to let Jesus in the home. That, Lord, my heart is to serve you and worship you, and it is this that will make the lasting difference in the lives of our children, is when we allow Christ to be the center and the hub of our home.